Thank you for downloading. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, as we celebrate 351 years since the foundation stone at the Royal Observatory in Greenwich was laid by the order of King Charles II, where are my two Prime Meridian podcasters? Firstly, his statistics are as precise as an atomic clock. Yes, chiming his caveats on the hour, every hour. Introducing Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, this old lad still relies on a sundial. So if he ever moves to Widnes, there's fuck all chance of him ever telling the time. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
You've got a solar eclipse over there, haven't you? Today or something?
Yeah, it's been and gone. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Was it good?
Yeah. I don't know. Mrs. Waywell tried to make a pinhole camera. And when I saw it, she'd made a hole about 3 inches wide. I said, what's that for? I was going to stick my knob in it, but didn't think it'd tell the time.
Oh. Mine was very successful. Mrs. Sankey had lots of fun holding it up so I could watch it.
Are we still talking about the pinhole camera?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we've been away for a few weeks. And, of course, the reason we've been away for a few weeks is because Sam's been buying his holiday home in France. So I've got to ask the question, Sam. Was it property one, property two, or the mystery house?
It was property two.
Oh.
Mm. And
was that the one with the big septic tank sent through?
That's it, the big septic tank. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing like having a massive tank of flammable gas right to your garage, is it? But that's the gas tank.
Excellent. Okay.
Very good. Yeah.
Any updates then? Come on.
I've spent the last 2 days having received a 172-page survey, all in French. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Google Translate was struggling a bit.
Are you going to give the listeners the answer?
We won't mention that we've just spent 25 minutes in the green room discussing numbers, and Dennis and I are more confused than when we started.
But the upshot is, Sam, we're going to have a villa to go to next year. That's basically what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
That if all goes well over the next 2 weeks, we might have a villa to go to. Only for certain clientele, though. Patrons only.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, definitely. Rob, what have you been doing this week? Because, I mean, you got up 90 seconds before this podcast
90
today.
Seconds before, I've told you Mrs. London's news, so that's all very exciting. Obviously, she's distancing herself even more from me.
Yes. Yeah,
Thought I'd treat her. So we went to a lovely log cabin up in the mountains last weekend.
It looked cold. You had a big hoodie
on. Six degrees, Sam. I would have liked it to have been colder. Yeah. But got the fire on, set the mood, got the little one in bed. Thought I'll just, we could make love in front of the hearth. Yeah. And I somehow managed to fringe the back of my ball sack on the fire grate.
Yes, that's always a concern, isn't it?
So, the mood was lost. But anyway, it was the thought that counts.
Were you stood up at the time?
I was half naked. Mrs. London was still in the kitchen. I don't think she'd like to say she wasn't having anything to do with it.
You were trying to get ready to surprise her and then surprise
anyway,
yourself.
Anyway, thankfully they didn't stick to the fire grate. So that's kind of been me really, Dennis. I presume you've been out on the road again enjoying this.
I've actually had a week off. It's the first weekend we've had off for 3 months. I had to do some chores, really. I think that was it. So nothing really to update anyone on that anyone's interested. It's boring. Yeah. Right. So that's it. But fuck all else. Let's go.
Well, talking of boring, shall we discuss the Castleford game? The team was Webster, Hoppawattie, Smith, King, Ashton, Irwin and Hayes in the halves, Byrne, Walker, Thomas, Holroyd, Harrison and Curry. Interchange bench, Taylor Ray came back in, Powell, Sipley and Philbin. So could Wyre stay on track and keep their playoff hopes alive? Here's the highlights.
Walker, Wide ball onto Irwin. Irwin out the back to Hayes. Hayes, short ball. Here comes Holroyd. Going to get over. Here's Holroyd. He's still going. Adam Holroyd has scored. Metres out, hold on to Weaver. Weaver to Assey, using a short ball, it's a great line. Assey's back in support, and Castleford Tigers are in. They come down this left hand side. Lalu Tonga guy, cut out ball, they're in again. Castleford Tigers have opened them up on that right edge once more. Cut out ball to Weaver. Weaver on to Assey. They've got numbers here again. PLT shows and he goes and it's over. Walker to Hayes. Hayes to King. King to Ashton. Ashton's going to score. There are no chances dropping that. Matty Ashton is over in the corner. Oh, ball back on the inside to Ashton. Ashton inside to King. That is a top, top try. And Toby King, he's going to finish off his seventh of the season, and that is his career 100 tries. Short to Sipley. Sipley still going. Is he over? He gets there. Tough Sipley with a huge barnstorming run. 2 tackles left. Walker to Hayes. Delicate little kick through. Weaver spills it. It's a gift for James Harrison. Walker, Hayes with a little dink over, trying to chase for it himself, and does he get there? PLT, he gets there! Leon Hayes! They lose a little bit of ground here to the Wolves, but it goes out the back to Irwin. Irwin onto Hayes. Hayes to Webster, cut out ball, Ashton is over again. Quick play of the ball, Powell. Curry's there, is he going to get over? Ben Curry, he has! Ben Curry.
Final score, Castleford 18, Warrington 48. There were tries for Holroyd. Ashton got 2. King, Sipley, Harrison, Hayes and also Curry. Conversions, Irwin kicked 8 from 8. Referee was Liam Pisspoor Moore. Attendance wasn't given. Can't find it. Seems that Castleford, and also, without breaking the time frame continuum, Bradford aren't given attendances either, which maybe says something about where they're both at. Now, I mean, I can start if you want me to, or if you want to jump
it's
in.
Probably
boys.
Best, because Sam's sent a message of where he was for this match. He was drinking, which is always a concern, on the Loire. So was it Cremant de Loire you were drinking, Sam?
It was local. I was staying in Saint-Maur, which is a small city with a chateau. I've sent them a photo. We were staying just at the foot of the chateau. In a an
when you say
chateau,
property. You say it with a big shat at the front. I mean, I don't think the French.
I think that's the septic tank coming into play.
Oh, so that's what he's describing as a chateau. Oh, yeah. I see. It's a house with a big shit in the front.
What Sam has bought, like, looking at that septic tank, is a cylindrical chateau, is what he's bought. Yeah. Have you just sent this picture now, Mr. Sankey, or is this something that's come through?
No, this is when you
were while you were asleep.
Gee, but, what's but that?
Dennis.
What Google link has he sent for that?
I did think that, yeah. Just for the listener, Sam sends links which are about 3 pages long. Don't know where they've come from. He's got some kind of VPN on. Rob, kick us off with a match, because Sam's...
I was in the Blue Mountains. With my ball sack soaking in the sink. So I didn't see any of this. So all I've got is, I didn't realise they were losing at half time. So I'm presuming that Castleford were poor in the first half. Warrington were poor in the first half. Second half, Warrington got better. Castleford got even worse.
What analysis?
Thank you. Thank you.
You know,
Thank you. No. Positives. Kai Taylor-Ray came back in. Thought that was a positive. And also Sipley. I think Sipley is in the form, his best form he's been in since he's joined the club. He is making a difference. I've got that. And then the one sort of red flag, which, well, Hayes saw more of the ball on the highlights in the sort of 20 minutes I watched of the second half than Irwin. Hayes is asking for the ball all the time, which is great. He's just, unfortunately, he's just all coached, Hayes. He's just, there's no individuality
coached.
He's just, he's all coached into the drill. So he sits in the right position. He's as brave as anything. But when it comes to actually being able to draw a man and pass a ball, that's where he lets himself down. So that's kind of it from me. I think that's it. I did say when we were recording last time that I predicted a blip, one of these two games, at some point things would go wrong. And it turned out to be the first 30 minutes at Castleford.
So I wasn't watching. I was just keeping occasional updates on the phone. We were leading at half time, but you're right, we went ahead and then conceded three tries in about 10 or 11 minutes. Obviously I wasn't watching, so not the details. Having watched the highlights, it did seem a bit of a worry, but all of a sudden it seemed like they thought, oh, we better switch back on and do it. So whether we drifted off or whether Castleford just had a good 10 minutes, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, we have a shit right edge.
Oh, we have a bit. Yeah.
Are you drinking beer, Sam, there now, are you? Yeah, you've got a taste for it, haven't you? So I did watch it.
Did you?
Yes.
We got full analysis then. Excellent.
Well, I don't know about that because I haven't done any preparation or anything. Anyway, yeah, so there is a, seems to be an element of people making comment about why I'm not being, being criticised about certain things. I don't know which, the analysis post-match that Sam Burgess said. He questioned one of the media and said, like, you took in, you know, you've been criticising me forwards, this, that and the other. So there is, it's not just us who's, you know, sort of focused in on that. But anyway, it could have been the blip. And then up until that 20 minutes, and then that was it. We shut down Castleford and we went on to win. That is my analysis. I would say that with you, I thought Sipley had his best game in terms of influencing. He scored a great try. I thought also Hayes and Irwin are actually getting a bit of a relationship and a connection, which is a bit of a shame because we're hearing that Williams is going to be back this week. So I don't know what that's going to do to disrupt it. But also you've got to remember, and I think we appreciate this, is that Castleford is shit and they have a lot of problems themselves. So much so, I think Ryan Carr has been suspended pending an internal investigation, or as the Castleford club are saying, that it's for personal issues. But I think there's a lot of rumours going around that there's been lots of trouble and there's something going on there. So
he had a big old rant, didn't he?
Yeah, they're in a bit of a disarray. So we're playing a team where there's some underlying issues. They lasted for 20 minutes, but then it was game over. So
gone are the days of Graham Stedman.
No, he's not. He's still...
I tell you what.
Is he not running on the pitch for someone like your...
Oh, is he?
Someone like that.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah, I think he's like a trainer or something.
Why? You remember on ITV, just for a brief amount of time... Sorry, Sam, they... We used to have Scrum Down. Remember Scrum Down?
Yes. Saturday lunchtime. Graham Tilsley. Clive Tilsley.
No, the one before that. The one where they had... Oh. Used to be on just Yorkshire Television. It was a Yorkshire Television. Jerry Helm did it? Or
yes.
And then they had that Welsh guy, Watkins, who played at Salford, doing the... He was doing the analysis. Every week it was Castleford.
It's Yorkshire, wasn't it? It's Yorkshire-based production.
You'd have to wait for Warrington to go over to Yorkshire and hope that it was Castleford, and it'd be Castleford.
Remember seeing Jonathan Davies absolutely ruin Stedman with his massive bombs down at Wilderspool. He caught the first one, then he dropped the next, and after that, Davies was just putting it right on top of him all the time.
The size of a bomb, when you're talking about bombs, what is the cubic capacity of your septic tank. Have you had a look into that? Like what?
It would take out half of Midwest France.
You know, you'll have to do a backwash. You'll have to do a backwash in that tank because of the pressure. Every 6 weeks, the methane will build up that much in that tank that you'll have to release it. It's like bleeding a radiator.
Is this? Are we just having a chat now because we've got fuck all to say about Castleford match?
Well, I can give you some stats. Do you want some stats?
Yes, go on.
Now, remarkably, the post-contact meters, we still managed to lose.
I don't believe this anymore. Surely we've won this game massively. How can we not win that? Is the maths right?
Also, right. So they've got post contact meters average gain. Well, I've had to calculate this, but I've got it at 3.27 for Cass, 3.23 for Wyre. But I'm with you, Dennis, because I counted 12 errors by Warrington. They've written down 10, yet our completion rate, according to Super League, is 99%. Who the fuck is making this up? It's bollocks. And also, not this game, I think it's the Bradford game, but I counted up all the meters that we'd made, and the discrepancy between all the meters that the players have made compared to what they wrote as our completed meters is over 280 meters apart.
Jesus.
It's pathetic. Why do they even bother? I think we chatted about this week, Sam. We were looking at New South Wales Cup games, weren't they? And they had more stats in there than what
exactly.
Oh, dear.
It's worrying because, like, you know, it's a major part of our section every week that we rely on these stats and we talk about.
I think they're just vaguely in the right direction, these stats.
If we look at it though, if we look at those stats and we say we ignore the numbers, but we use the differential between each one. I like to see in the average gain that some of the forwards made hay, but Burns seems to have dropped off a cliff. Harrison's down the bottom. Holroyd's down the bottom. I didn't know Thomas played in this game. I didn't even see him. Did he play in that one?
No, that was the next one. That was the Bradford game.
No, Thomas played in this one.
No, sorry, Bradford game. He was rested. He did play.
Oh, right. Okay. So he played in this one.
Holroyd, I mean, yeah.
I suppose what I'm saying is that average game feeds into the overall average game. So some of those forwards are running, you know, they're not running.
All the meters are coming from we've done for many years at Warrington. All the meters come from the backs running from the play of the ball. Although the one that stands out there is Sipley. Sipley's done 145. Philbin has suddenly come home with a wet sail since he signed his contract to go to London. It's like the shackles are off. It's like he's almost gone, well, that doesn't matter anymore. All that tension's been released, a bit like Sam's septic tank.
Yeah. You say that. I actually thought that myself because Philbin was out for 4 or 5 games, wasn't he? So I had a look. His first 11 games, his average gain in those first 11 was 7.95 metres. Then he gets injured. Then he signs officially for London, even though it'd been rumoured for a while. Since he's come back, 9.37 average gain.
Yeah.
So considerably more. His tackle breaks are up. His errors are down. His tackle efficiency is up. And he scored 2 tries in them 4 games and 2 tries in the previous 11.
Right. Some of that
significantly
surely,
better.
Is down to Sipley, right? He takes the ball up after Sipley every time. They've got on a little bit of a roll, those two. Sipley takes the ball up, sucks them all in, does the hard work, and then Philbin sort of, a bit like a parasite, is off the back of that. Do you know, it reminds me of? It reminds me of going to Legends, Sam. I'd do all the hard work with the girls, and then this parasite would appear on my shoulder. Dennis.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you needed that support because there was always like someone else.
Yeah, but the
else
support was never there. The support was on the other 99 occasions.
There's always two girls, and you made his mind up of which he was going to choose. Is that basically?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd spend hours grinding away, getting blown out, and then eventually I'd, you know, stick onto something, and then he'd be there.
Yes, every time.
Stick onto something.
No, it's just good timing.
very romantic. I'd stick onto something. You wonder why we've got a predominantly male listener.
Well, you say that, Sam. Female listenership now is up to 21%.
Is it?
Oh, that's a bullshit stat
again,
as well. Who's
these are other
together?
Stats. These podcast stats. We're the number one rugby league podcast in Albania, and have been for 3 years.
Oh wow! Well, that's a stat I'd like to, you know, certainly get behind.
Actually,
yeah.
Was it Norman Wisdom they liked in Albania?
Yes, it was.
Tackle gags next week. I'll do a little Norman Wisdom.
Oh, good, excellent. Yeah, let's just think about this though. We were, you know, quite pessimistically, or you two were quite pessimistically, putting Warrington as having
cheeky
a blip
bastard.
And you know, not playing very well. This, that,
sorry,
and
we keep mentioning
again,
the blip. Are we referring to the lack of form during moments of this game, or Leon Hayes?
No, we're talking about the lack of form. And I think the thing is that, you know, we actually showed that we were quite professional in the way we went about this game, and just kept on going. And I mean, 48 points is, you know, sort of not insignificant, is it? So I thought there was quite a lot of positive sort of aspects of this game, you know, even though we know that Castleford were possibly playing without a coach in the future. So there you go. They might be looking for a coach. Maybe if you were looking for a coach, what sort of names would you throw into the hat there, Rob? You got any names for us?
Tony Barrow, Cess Mountford.
Anyone called Phil on your
Phil.
List there? Yeah.
Are you starting a rumour there, Dennis? Are you starting a rumour with the word? You know things that I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I think if I forensically analyse, you know, what's going on in the world, I could probably read what's possibly in the pipeline.
Fair enough. I'm going on a nice holiday in a few weeks' time, and I was just thinking that if I had to go away on holiday with a Warrington player, I would like to go with Leon Hayes, because he is very, very upbeat in the interviews. Mm. He's really cheery. I reckon if we were around the pool, and I said, Leon, do you fancy, you know, throwing the beach ball in the pool for 5 minutes? Yes, Rob. Yeah, no problem. I think.
Did you say throwing, or would you mind being the beach ball? Just going to just clarify that.
I think you'd want to go on holiday with either Leon Hayes or Joe Philbin, because those two seem the most cheery.
Right. They'd be high-fiving you all the time.
Yeah. Well, maybe not with Leon Hayes, because he's a bit short. But yeah, I get the idea.
Are we done on this game? Should we move on? Have we had enough?
I don't know. Have we got anything else?
One of the worst games of the year we've analysed for the longest amount of time on the podcast this year.
That's what everybody wants, isn't it?
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Two of us didn't even watch it because we were on holiday.
Oh, God. Super League results round 21. Huddersfield 22, Hull 16. Huddersfield with another win. Hull KR 40, Bradford 16. Leeds 46 to lose Zilch. Lee 8, Wigan 20, York 34, St Helens 32, and Catalans were beaten at home. Both the French sides are struggling at the moment since Sam's decided he's going to move to France. Catalans 12, Wakefield 32. Right. I mean, nothing that stands out there, was there, in that, apart from Huddersfield, who seemed to be a bit better.
Anybody watching any other Rugby Super League? Seen any of these games?
No.
Don't give a shit.
Quite been enjoying the European athletics.
Dirty bastard. Okay,
here is my all-time Wire 13. 9 of these players I saw firsthand, the other 4 I never actually saw play. So for those 4, I turned to my dad, my granddad and my uncle, God rest their souls. These are players they spoke about with such admiration that I sat there listening to their every word. Their reputations became part of Warrington folklore. They've earned their place in this team on legend alone. Not one player in my 13 started their career in the summer era. Make of that what you will. Perhaps it's a poor reflection on the players of the last 30 years, or perhaps it's simply that time
has a way of polishing memories until the past always seems a little brighter. A few of my picks are playing out of their customary Warrington positions, but they were simply too good to leave out. I'd rather move a great player than replace him with a lesser one. At fullback, my number one is the Welshman, Jonathan Davis. He had a sidestep to rival Davy Duckham's and was blessed with effortless acceleration and an outstanding rugby brain. Add to that his trademark spiral kicks. He gets the nod just ahead of the brilliant supporting fullback, Brian Johnston, and Steve Hesford, who, for me, had the safest pair of hands under a high ball that Wilderspool has ever witnessed. Wingers, well, my wingers are both Bevans. At number two, the greatest player ever to play rugby league, Brian Bevan. On the other wing, at number five, John Bevan. Strong, fearless and tough. John was one of the only two players I've ever truly idolised. Sorry, Desi, you don't quite get in. My centres are perhaps out of position in a wire shirt, but both played plenty of football there. Firstly, my number three, Stockton Heath's very own Bobby Fulton. Partnering him at number four is Phil Blake. I've never seen another player chip over the defence, lose a boot in a process, and regather the ball and still go on to score. And Blake seemed to do it with remarkable regularity. In the halves, firstly, John Woods at six. Perhaps John Woods' very best years were with Lee, but he remains the most naturally gifted all-round standoff I've ever seen. Partnering him at seven is Jerry Helm, the last man to captain Warrington to the championship all the way back in 1955. Hard to leave out a man who was the last person to lift the trophy. My props are two ball-playing hardmen. Firstly, my idol, Les Boyd, the last man to lead Warrington to Premiership glory. Alongside him is Harry Bath. Even though Bath spent most of his career at Warrington playing in the second row, he had all the attributes to play prop. He was once described as the greatest forward never to play for Australia. At hooker, I came close to picking a summer-era player in Darrell Clarke, but it's impossible to leave out Alan Langer. I've never seen a player organise a team or have such an influence on a game close to the line. The little Australian could tackle too. He'd slot into the number nine role with ease and would cause havoc behind this pack. The back row is the toughest you're ever going to find. Look no further than Les Davidson. He's in my team to put fear into the opposition. Alongside him, the quickest second rowing forward I've ever seen in Mark Roberts. And finally, at loose forward, Mike Gregory. Perhaps the least naturally gifted player in my side, but also the most determined. His courage, commitment and will to win earn him a place in the team. So my best wire team, at one, Jonathan Davis, two, Brian Bevan, three, Bobby Fulton, four, Phil Blake, five, John Bevan, six, John Woods, seven, Jerry Helm, eight, Les Boyd, nine, Alan Langer, 10, Harry Bath, 11, Les Davidson, 12, Mark Roberts, and at 13, Mike Gregory.
Right, on to the Bradford game. The team was, here we go again, Thulis, Webster, Hopewarty, King, Ashton, Irwin and Hayes, Byrne, Walker, Harrison, Holroyd, Bentley came back in and Curry. Interchange bench was Sipley, Crowther, Philbin and Tanganawa. So, as Warrington's cult following made their way to Oddsall, would they find their sanctuary? Here's the highlights.
Did you say cult?
Which
which way do they go? Do they go to Atkin? They do. Ethan Ryan will be a target. Kicks it up for Ryan, who's got the height advantage. Gets it down! Irwin gets it away. Quick hands, and Aston exposes the balls. There might not be a lot of room to work with, but that was clinical. Warrington knocking on the door. Irwin fires the pass to Hopewate. Is he strong enough to get there? He is. They're going to switch play here. It's picked up by Hayes, fires it wide, quick hands. Oh, what a try! What a try! Two young halves here are pulling the strings for the Warrington Wolves. King on the end of it. Careers forward, five out, last one here. What have they got up their sleeves? They're going for the power play, they've got it! Philbin crashes straight through. Walker gets it away to Thewlis. Thewlis turns it back, kick, short pass, and Crowther's in. They didn't know where he went. He's only just come on, and Crowther strolls in to score. Quick play of the ball. Crowther gets it away. Here's Irwin. Irwin with a step. Irwin too good. Slices like a hot knife through butter through the Bradford defence. Swinging across here to Hayes, fires it to Thewlis. Thewlis for Tanganoa. Tanganoa for Aston. Aston's in. Keeps me alive. And the fire in your
eyes. Keeps me alive. Final score, Bradford 4, Warrington 42. There were two tries for Aston. Hopewate, King, Philbin, Crowther and Irwin. Conversions, Irwin again, 100%, 7 from 7. Referee was Aaron Pisspoor Moore. Attendance, as we mentioned before, not given. Right. Well, no blips here. There was just that one moment, start of the second half, where they get the try ruled out. I mean, Walker's getting nowhere near that try. Mm. But right decision, because he gets held back. So, not yes, the referee's yeah. fault. But this, I thought, some of the refereeing in this game was appalling. Really, really was bad. I watched it back just to sort of freeze frame it, and I would have said there was six kicks downfield, probably three either way, where players were blatantly offside that were then not pulled up for being with inside the 10. Actually made the tackle on numerous occasions. Just wasn't being refereed at all. Just really thought it was. I really thought it was bad. The refereeing in this game, really bad. Just basics were poor.
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, Christ!
Meanwhile, I was in the Westminster Hotel in Latuke, which was the hotel where Sean Connery signed his first James Bond contract. And I had a 007 cocktail for pre-dinner drinks. Yeah, so I only watched the highlights
Has
later.
Has anyone
on.
Ever said 007?
No, that's so south of the river, isn't it? 007. What was Bond's drink of choice, Sam?
Well, it was a Vespa, wasn't it? But this wasn't a Vespa. This was actually what Sean Connery drank, which... it was like rocket fuel.
Sean Connery was renowned for wherever he went, paying with cheque. Do you know why?
So that they just put it on the wall rather than cash it.
People wouldn't cash it.
Got anything on the Bradford game, anyone?
No.
I think we need to
say a couple of our What Bevin group gents went. A couple of them for the first time.
Oh, at least God, one of them that for the first depressing. Time, didn't they? That looked awful.
That's why they couldn't get the crowd, because they were lost in the long grass at the top of the sort of embankment.
Do you know? I mean, God love them for going, but is there nothing better to do on a Sunday than go to Oddsall?
Well, it's a good day out, isn't it?
We won well. We won easy. We should have won well, and we should have won easy.
Bradford are not. Do you know what? Do you know what Bradford and Castleford have got in common?
They're both shit.
Exactly. No. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute dog shit.
You can only beat what's in front of you. So just a sec, because I'm not going to go too negative here.
No.
I agree. They're poor, but in the past we've done this, and as we said. We might have a bit of a slip, but we've
blip.
We put 40 on two shit teams. Shit teams, yes, and you should be putting at least 30 on them, but we've put 40 on them both and come away with two good wins. And well, I think Philbin got a little injured in this, but without any serious mishaps or injuries. So there you go.
He's injured himself running back at one point.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had a little nasty fall, didn't he, on his own? Yeah. Mm. I predicted that we might have a blip here because of the pitch. Obviously, it's very narrow and short. Mm. And I thought that meant, well, hang on a minute, we're going to have to run up the middle. So being that Bradford, usually, if they've got a full team, would be big up the middle, we'd probably struggle. But I thought we handled it quite well. Probably, again, because Bradford have got some players out. Mm. But even so, we were quick enough.
Is their winger an Aussie?
Yes.
He looks really frustrated. He's like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Mm.
Is it the number 5?
Ethan Ryan.
Yeah, is he Australian, Sam? He just sounds looks.
I'll have a look for
he
you.
Looks better. I quite like him. He looks like he's a bit Joel Monaghan.
Halifax, West Yorkshire. Is he? Birth, Halifax, West Yorkshire.
Well, he looks like a good find. I quite like him. I think he could play a better side. I had a nasty fall 2 days ago. You've seen our steps into the house, and I missed the last step, but I was making a ragu for dinner. And I had about a kilo of beef chuck that I was going to put on the stove for 8 hours in my right hand. And the equilibrium of the beef chuck made my fall. It kept me upright, basically. Very lucky.
I thought you were going to say somebody found you on the floor with all this beef chuck spread about your body. And it's like, oh, my God, he's had a serious injury. Right, let's talk about Bradford then. Looking at the stats, Rob, can you explain why the meters gain are once again?
Yes. So we've still lost the post contact meters gain average. Bradford Falls 3.65, Warrington 3.1. It came from because their post contact meters are 5.11 with 140 carries. Our post contact meters are 7.04. But apparently we carried the ball 227 times.
Mm.
So just divide them in and that's what you get. So the one that worries me more actually at the moment, and this has become a theme since Sneed disappeared, but it's become more prominent in the last month or so, is kick from hand meters. The game at Castleford, we're pretty much 50-50, but there's been a few games before we've not mentioned, and this game as well. We're not kicking the ball far enough downfield. They've done 7-4-6 compared to our 4-5-1. If you watch the game, Irwin's putting a lot of kicks up. They don't go very far. They've got more height than length.
That's what she said.
That's what she said, yeah.
But you have to say that it was a small pitch. So did that not count for the shorter kicking?
This can't be right? The coverage, who was doing the whoever was doing the coverage, I don't know who he is, some stereotypical Yorkshire commentator. He said the pitch was 12 metres narrower.
Yes, I think that was wrong.
12 metres?
I think he meant 6 metres, but he said 6 metres either side or something.
Yeah, no, he said 12. He said 12. He said right, 12 metres. I thought, oh, we're playing on a balance beam.
Did he mean Did he mean narrow or
in... narrow? He said the pitch was
narrow.
It was 12 meters less.
That definitely falls outside the regs, I'd say.
So just on your kick meters, a couple of things. If you divide the number of kicks, there's only 2 meters difference. They average 32 meters, we average 30. But also, if we're going 1,800 meters to their 900, quite possibly we're kicking an attacking kick, which is basically an up and under rather than kicking for distance.
See, this is why we have him on. This is he's absolutely... He's ripped my analogy apart there, hasn't he? He's absolutely taken my theory apart, and I've got nothing to come back on that one. It's completely
wrong. Nobody's got anything about these games. So as we haven't got anything about these games, is what are we thinking here? What sort of team have we got that is going to be in the playoffs likely now? I think we've guaranteed that place because, you know, some of the other teams are slipping up. What sort of team have we got? Have we got a competitive team for getting in the playoffs? Or are we just sort of looking through this like rose-tinted glasses because we've got this nice run in against the teams in the bottom of the table? What's the thoughts?
I think that we've more or less said it through the year. I think there's a group of teams... who there's basically thirds in this table. There's two or three teams that are very good. There's five or six teams that are like us and winning that five or six. And then there's three or four teams that are poor.
Can I just point out that's not thirds, Sam, because you've just come up with 16 teams. It's only four.
I have, correct. Yeah. Okay. You've just been waiting for me to get something wrong.
After his kick meters, I'm all over him now. This is it.
Yes. Yeah. Pulling him apart.
I feel, Dennis, so far this year, we've just, for me, the only exception would be Catalans, where I thought we were really poor and disappointing. For me, we've more or less won all the games we should. We've lost the games we expected to, and there's only been a couple of games where we have exceeded expectation. And that, in some ways, might be because we went away to Saints and we've seen Saints drop off. We won against both Wigan and Hull KR, but both of them had slightly weakened teams. So I think the key in the playoffs will be, I think we can cause an upset, but I can't see us doing it three games in a row. That's my issue. We can beat one of these bigger teams, Leeds, Wigan, full strength Hull KR.
You know, one thing we have said is that Sam Burgess can get the team up on a big game and a big day.
Yes,
and
I agree.
Can play well. I think now it looks like we're going to be in the playoffs. How many games have we got to win there? We've got to win, what, two games before and you're in the final?
Three games. Oh, yeah, two games for the final, yes. Two games for the final.
So what the first game, if we finish fourth, we'd be at home. So, you know, we've got that. And then, you know, there's a good chance we could get there now. You're not thinking the same, Rob?
I said this at the start of the year, and I've said it on numerous other occasions. You've not got to beat every team in this competition with the financial clout that we have. Every season comes down to about three games. We have the backing for us to be always a top four, top five team. That's where we should be. Last year was a disaster. Not finishing in the top six last year. The recruitment was, let's face it, was absolutely shithouse last year. We could see it, the players they brought in weren't good enough. And they got caught out. So they've put that right slightly this year. I think the dilution of the competition, now we've got 14 teams in, isn't helping. I'd like to go back to 20 teams. I'm all for having a really sort of, you know, discombobulated competition. But at 14, if you took two teams out of this Super League, those players are then, you know, there's probably 30% of players in either of those teams that are then looking for jobs in Super League. It would make the competition a lot tighter, because this year it's probably been the biggest disparity between the top six and then the rest. Because St. Helens are going through a bit of a blip, you've only got six good teams. Catalans, for some reason, it's not working for them. And the rest are just making up the numbers. So every year, it comes down to basically beating two teams or three teams that are in form. And those teams over the last 30 years have been Leeds, Wigan, St. Helens and Bradford. And I think we had Salford one year, didn't we? It's strip it bare. So you just got to get yourself into a position where you've, as you said, Dennis, you need a coach that can get yourself up for two games and you might find yourself in a Super League final. I still don't, I'm not sure what the fixtures have still got to go, Sam, but I think we might not quite make fourth. We might finish fifth. But this year, I look at that and I think really we're destined for a Leeds-Wigan final. They're not going to meet until the final by the looks of things. And then it's really can Wakefield or Hull KR rock the boat? I'm not sure we're rocking the boat. I'm not sure Lee can rock the boat. But, I mean, I don't think Leeds and Wigan are good enough to guarantee they're going to play well. I don't think any team in Super League can guarantee they're going to play well. So it'd be a bit of a lottery at the end of the year. If we did win it this year, you would look back at it and scratch your head and go, how on earth have we done that? You know, but it's, you're right, we're in there and it's going to come down to a few games. But as I've said all year, that's post-contact meters is not good enough. And we will probably, whether it's a quarter-final or a semi-final, be found out that our pack is too light and it will be dominated in that game. We just won't. As much as enthusiasm and a talk in the dressing room before the game's gonna might get you on the right foot, you're gonna go back two steps once you're hit by big forwards.
I don't disagree with that, but what you can't factor in is the opposition, whether they have any a crucial injury or two.
Yeah,
you can't do that. Now we have struggled a bit. And we've got 6 games left. I know he's not the world beater we hoped when we signed him, but Williams is back. Stone's about to be back. Stone's not going to make you loads and loads of meters, but he's got 5 or 6 games to get fit. Kai Taylor-Ray on his day could do something. He could equally drop a couple of clangers.
Yeah.
And suddenly we might have a almost full squad at peak fitness in a time when other people might be 4 or 5 players down. These are ifs and buts and maybes and some luck. I do appreciate that. Yeah. But
it's like, you know, these, you know, you throw the bottle and you try and get it to land on its base and it stands up.
Yes. Yeah.
That's our probability of winning this. It could just fall. But I was on YouTube last night and the highlights came up of the Academy game against Wigan. And I thought that epitomised what we keep saying. We started off well in that game. We're winning. Lindop and Keitel-Array are playing. We score the first two tries. All looks great. Everyone's patting each other on the back. And then Wigan are too big. I think Wigan win about 24-10 in the end. Wigan just steamrollers in the second half. Mm. You know, at one point, the ball goes out to their number 5 on the wing. He's bigger than our forwards again. Just shout down the pit for the next biggest lad to come up. Do it all the time.
They've shut all the pits now, Rob. You've been away for a long time. They don't have pits anymore. Right. Okay.
Shout down Greggs for the next biggest.
Super League results round 22. St Helens 18, Hull 32. Castleford 0, Hull KR 44. Lee 22, York 14. Wakefield 22, Leeds 24. Wigan 48, Toulouse 18, and Huddersfield 42. Catalans 30. A real rhythm to those results now. You can sort of predict them, right? There's not too much. I did see McManus being interviewed at St Helens. I think I sent you a message. Be keen to see where both teams are in 12 months. He's articulate. He's passionate. He reminds me of Radlinski. He's admitted there's a problem and he's trying to fix it. And I think he will fix it. I think they will come back stronger and better than ever in about a year's time. What worries me is, you know, you look at the Burgess interview after the Castleford game, and there he is, you know, when someone questions him about the forwards. I know he backs his boys, but he doesn't admit it.
No, he gets quite defensive. He
gets defensive. Where McManus, he said, yeah, I agree. If you can see the problem, you can put it right. If you bury your head in the sand, it's not going to change.
But you are comparing like a coach with an owner, so it's not really.
Yeah, yeah.
But Well, anyway, okay, so we've got a team that's capable. We've got players coming back. I do agree with you, Sam. I think actually we could end up in a situation where we've got players playing for places in the next six games for them playoffs. So that would be interesting. Whether the, you know, they're not, like you say, they're outstanding, are they? But, you know, get Sam Burgess, getting them up for a game. I think we've done it. Any news on any other players?
Why is he so positive? Why is it? Hang on. Why is he so positive? Where's this come from? Where's this come from? Jesus.
He's had a weekend. He's had a weekend at home pottering around doing jobs.
How long have we been podcasting? We've been on for about an hour and you've just had the realization that I'm going with a positive attitude. Well done. Well done.
For some reason, Wire find themselves the worst offenders in the league for yellow cards. After these games.
Oh, here we go. Springing up.
12 yellow cards.
Here we go.
Yeah.
12 yellow cards. Saints 10. Hull KR 7 in third place.
You going to mention Bentley? Going to mention Bentley, Sam?
No, no, not mentioning him. No. Who?
I like yellow cards. I like them. I think it's a sign of like masculinity and sort of, you know, really sort of being aggressive and things. So it's a good sign for us to be a, you know, a strong team. That's the way I'm putting it.
Could you imagine if Bentley was from Papua New Guinea? Where Sam would be at.
Yeah.
The table looks like this. Leeds out on top, 36 points. Wigan in second on 34. Wakefield third, 32. Warrington fourth in 30. Still with a game in hand. Hull KR in fifth on 28. Aztua Lee on 28 in sixth. Forget the rest. The top six is decided. Ooh. St. Helens are not good enough in seventh on 24. And then it goes Catalans, Toulouse, York, Castleford, Hull, Bradford and Huddersfield might get themselves off the bottom between now and the end of the season. In terms of the predictions, our combined predictions are at two. Sam's at three now. I'm down to two. Dennis is on five. He's got Leeds, Wigan, Lee, Catalans and Bradford all in the correct positions.
There's a couple there that could come in as well. But then equally, I've got Warrington in seventh and I think that's going to be incorrect now, isn't it? I think
Sam had on the highest. We both put Warrington in seventh this year. I was dragged into that by your pessimism, Dennis. And Sam's got them in fifth. So Sam might be, I think Sam might hit it the nail on the head. None of us predicted Wakefield.
No, I was just looking at that. Yeah. I'm in the unusual situation of next Tuesday, if Warrington lose to Hull KR, I'm getting points on this bit, but obviously I don't want that to happen.
Oh, we both had Hull KR as winning the comp, Sam.
Yeah.
I didn't. I said they'd have a wobble.
I didn't. I had that with Lee.
Yes. I said that. I definitely said it.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Warrington and Wigan will meet in Dublin on Saturday, the 24th of April, 2027. The game will be played at the newly redeveloped 20,000 capacity Leia Arena, home to Leinster Rugby. Warrington Chief Executive Carl Fitzpatrick, aka Fitzy, said, "After the success of taking rugby league to Las Vegas and Paris, Dublin is the perfect next destination to showcase the sport to a new audience. The match will take place just 1 week before Magic Weekend, giving fans two major rugby league events on back-to-back weekends. Meanwhile, local entrepreneur and nightclub owner Seamus O'Flanagan says he's delighted to welcome the rugby league community to Dublin. Seamus, who owns the famous city centre nightclub, The Crack and Snow, said, "Just in case history repeats itself, I've already asked my local builder, Mr. O'Reilly, to reinforce the podium. If Burgess pops in after the match, we're taking no chances."
What did you use?
RSJ.
NNO 4x2. Not bad, Ada. And not expensive.
No, I mean for the lintel. Did you use an RSJ? You know, an iron girder. Or did you use a concrete lintel?
No, a wooden one.
But that's a supporting wall.
What? Quite. Well, thanks very much for coming over this morning.
Just a minute. You mean that isn't strong enough?
That's a supporting wall, Mrs. Fawley. You could give away on it any moment.
Any moment?
Yeah, go down the floors above. Look, keep this door shut so I can get a screw jack to prop it up before the bloody lock comes in. I don't know, cowboys.
Basil? Basil!
I'm going to see Mr. O'Reilly, dear. I think I might go to Canada.
So that would cost you about £40,000 for that weekend at Dublin. It's not the most cheapest of places to get to, is it?
No.
Are you going, Sam? Or are you going to be too busy going to France?
Yeah, that's a problem. I could be in France. I haven't done anything about it yet. Apparently, 5,500 tickets had already been sold in the first 24 hours. Flights will no doubt be expensive.
Do you know you reinforce on faulty towers? They reinforce when it's an RSJ. They don't say the words RSJ anymore.
Why?
They've changed it to something else. It's not the same.
That's RSJ, something joist. What would the RSJ be?
Yeah. When he comes in and says
reinforced steel joist.
Rigid steel joist.
Did they use an RSJ, Mrs. Fawlty? No, 2B1. Yeah, that's the. Right, there you go. Right, well, I'll be avoiding Dublin on that weekend, that's for sure. How long have they been trying to push the game of rugby league 300 metres from either side of the M62? Fucking hell.
Yeah. You know what? I've read today NRL are going to stump up 60 million over five years, which isn't that much considering they've got 5.4 billion. I mean, that's...
It is in Super League terms.
It is in Super League team.
How much is a pizza twist? I'll do the sum.
Yeah. I think, you know, okay, so it's something to go at, but I thought it would have been quite considerably more than that. But I don't think they can get to an agreement. There's still sort of like, you know, ownership things.
Why do the NRL need to bother? I mean, the AFL, which is such a prominent sport in South Australia and Victoria here, they're not really looking to spread the game. They've just confined it, and they get crowds of 80,000 at the MCG every week.
So did you listen to the McManus interview in full? No, I didn't think you did, because he was the one who said it. And actually, it did resonate with me, and because I used to think the same thing. Why are they bothering? But he did say, where else is the NRL going to expand? It's got nowhere to go.
Don't need to. Why do they need to expand?
Well, because they want to. That's part of their sort of, you know, strategy, isn't it? Is to globalise the sport.
IKEA are not expanding anymore. IKEA are actually going the other way. They are looking at sort of reducing by 2% a year. They look at the world not from a capitalist perspective, but from perspective of welfare and well-being and climate change. Why are we expanding all this?
Well, that's because they're a Swedish company, and the NRL are Australians who don't give a fuck about how much they burn.
And let's just be honest, that's a load of bullshit with IKEA anyway, because they don't have any windows for the staff to look out.
Got rid of the Allen key as well.
Did they? What did they replace that with?
I don't know, phasing it out, not sure.
Bring that back for next week. Any more news? Have you got anything else?
Yes, Warrington have confirmed the signing of two 23-year-old Antipodean props, with Toby Crosby and Mitchell Prest both joining the club. Kiwi Ray's Crosby came through the rugby union before switching codes to the New Zealand Warriors and then joining Penrith Panthers. Australian Prest joins from Queensland Cup side Mackay Cutters, having previously spent 3 years in Canberra's New South Wales Cup side. Neither player has played first-grade NRL. Both will arrive at the Halliwell Jones in 2027 season on two-year contracts.
Over to the man in the warehouse. What's he say?
So, man in the warehouse said his exact words, "Who the fuck are those two?" That was his first thing he said to me.
Nice.
Then he went on a bit of a rant about never buy rejects from the Panthers or Melbourne. The KPIs at those two clubs set the bar. And Manly have made that mistake on numerous occasions. He speaks a lot of sense. He then said, it's the financial end of year dinner on Saturday. Would Debbie from accounts be coming? If she's not, he wasn't going to bother.
Right.
And have you mentioned that to Debbie from accounts?
No, haven't run that by yet. Yeah.
So that's it then. We're happy. We've got two young lads coming in.
Gary Chamber will have done his.
So has Gary Chamber been over there and sort of done some recceing to come up with this? How does that all work?
I don't know if Gary Chamber, if he just relies on, you know, I don't know, like people on Twitter. I don't know what he does.
He must have certain contacts over there who's doing this scouting for us, surely. Surely we're not just doing it off a few reels. Look, we must have someone over there
Prest
that we rely on.
Prest has gone backwards, right? He's been at Canberra playing New South Wales Cup. He hasn't played first grade. He's then released to play for a Queensland pub side. Okay? So,
but we are in a different realm, though, here, aren't we? We're not on the same salary cap as the NRL, and we can't afford that. So we're in a second rate.
This is what's happened, right? So since we've aligned with Summer Rugby and we're playing back, you know, we're playing at the same time as the NRL, the days of getting your Boyds and your Davidsons and your Wally Lewis's to Wakefield, they've all fallen away. That doesn't happen anymore. So what you're left with is basically gambles. You're looking for kids who haven't made the grade over in Australia, or you're looking for reprobates, right? You're looking for something that's happened to a player that leads them to the NRL. You look at sort of Hastings, there was issues there. Sandow, he was a fucking pain in the NRL, ends up at Warrington. We get 18 decent games out of him before he's, you know, on the run from the... You've got Vaughan, you know, holding barbecues during... bloody lockdowns.
Yeah.
So these. Well,
you've got Monaghan for a different reason. Monaghan a different reason, different type of. Still a problem.
Yeah. Well, again, both of them. So one of Monaghan gets his nose out of joint because they bring in the lad from Melbourne who I can't remember his name, and he ends up coming to Warrington, and then his brother's sucking off a dog, and he ends up at Warrington. There's always something, right? But what I do question is I mean, I've not looked at these two players yet. I can probably go and look at this guy who's played for Penrith this year, because I'll have him on KO Sports. What I have been told is he's very much a Union player, played 13 at Union, likes to do a bit of Roland Phillips, turn his back, look to release the ball on the floor. It's like ingrained in him. So that's what I'll be looking for. Prest.
Do you think Rob, our 20% female audience are going to be switched off after hearing about sucking off a dog? I'm just a bit concerned whether you might need to cut that bit.
This is absolutely delightful. Oh, Sammy, what a wonderful idea to bring the lads down to Brighton Pride Week.
Oh, I know, Ralpho. I thought, what with the season slipping away, they could all do with a bit of colour. And this is all about celebrating the LGBTQ+ community. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and queer.
Oh, I thought that was an acronym for you avoiding press conferences. You know, LGBTQ, let's go before the questions. But what's the plus for?
Oh, That's the other identities not specifically listed in the acronym, Balfour. You know, these days, just too many to list.
Oh, well, I have to say, there's enough room in the Warrington Trophy Cabinet to list them all. apart from Body Positive Brewpad.
Tell me, Balfour, do you think you could have ever been a homosexual?
Oh, yes. I did consider for a while about being a homosexual. Homosexual, about being gay.
Really?
Oh, yes. Until I had a shower next to Basil Richards. Oh, yes. I'd realised I'd bitten off more than I could chew.
Talking of it, I've spent all afternoon admiring their enormous pride.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
No, Balfour, I mean the festival.
Oh, my apologies, Sammy. For one awful moment there, I thought you meant Gina Brukes had launched another OnlyFans page.
Hey, oh, the parade's just setting off, Ralphie. With all the old queens.
Oh, rag and bone my arse.
Ooh, hello, sailor.
I think you'll find that's a euphemism.
Ooh, I like a bit of that too.
Oh, could you believe it, Sam? The people in this parade, and are still showing more momentum than our forward pack.
Professor Bloomhead brought himself a feather boa.
Oh, the captain's challenge. They've had to pluck three ostriches just to get the daft bugger fitted. Well, I haven't seen a bird that fat since I went to Evergreens on a Thursday night back in 1989.
Oh, the music's wonderful, Ralphie. Even Kylie Minogue's been on the stage.
Yes, what a lovely singer. I honestly thought she was 6'2". Then I realised she was standing next to Leon Hayes. It completely buggered up my perspective. Oh, Samuel, just look at all those beautiful rainbow flags fluttering away in all their glory.
Did you know, Ralphie, that beyond the colourful rainbow spectrum lies ultraviolet light, invisible to the naked eye?
Oh, yes, yes. The last place you'd want to shine any ultraviolet torch is on Sam Stone's headboard.
Oh, there's so much glitter, Ralphie. What a spectacle.
Ah, but remember, Sammy, all that glitter is not gold, and that shit sticks to everything. Just look at the stain Luther Burrell left on our salary cap.
Hey, do you fancy a stroll along Brighton Pier, Ralphie? You know, the ageing timber framework with rusty old bolts extending out into the English Channel that's becoming increasingly fragile over the years and has been known to crumble under the slightest bit of pressure.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about the historic marine structure supported by timber piles repeatedly weakened by the elements and requiring constant maintenance to stop it collapsing? Or James Harrison's medical report?
I tell you what, Ralphie, I can imagine quite a few people have come to Brighton Pride over the years and finally discovered who they really are.
Quite right, Samuel, quite right. Always best to wear your badge with pride. Unless it's that shit Hoover logo.
I know. What were we thinking when we found that one off?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Anyway, Samuel, I better be off. Fitz is due on the main stage in 10 minutes performing his drag act.
Yes, he's calling himself Dame Earring of Billinge.
Oh, tackle sucks. Oh, and let's hope he doesn't drop his shiny ring on the stage. Because I tell you what, Sammy, with this crowd, that'll certainly bugger up his marketing strategy.
It started well with Kylie. I mean, like a bit of Kylie. And I have to say, my trepidation was just calming down a bit when we got Let's Go Before the Question. Thought that was good. Yeah, that was good. Then it started to get twitchy at Basil Richards.
Just twitchy.
Jesus.
Twitchy. Then Jenna Bruquez made me worry, and then when we got to ultraviolet light, that was it. I stopped after that. I did not listen to anything after that.
A shame.
In order to protect myself,
You didn't get to Fitzpatrick's ring.
No,
I'm glad I didn't. There you go. I can't be held responsible for that.
Well, next week you'll be pleased because we're an astronomer next week. We're doing Jodrell Bank. It's very topical this year.
Oh, excellent.
You know, we have Brighton Pride because it's Brighton Pride this week. Jodrell Bank's not getting the funding, so we're moving on to Jodrell Bank next week. So,
okay.
Just think how many double entendres you can get out of a dish. You'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tickle Band.
I was lying in bed the other morning and I thought, I feel better this morning. I thought my fairy godmother's waved her wand. Get out of bed, shave your legs and get out. So I got out of my hammock. I sleep in a hammock, you know. Well, I wanted to be in the Navy, you know, but I never quite made it. The nearest I got to the Navy was an all-male review called Come Peep Through My Porthole. Anyway.
Put my glasses on. But Larry Grayson, look. Oh, God. I need a chain around these glasses. It's no good for podcasting, Dennis. Just carry on.
Did you think that sounded like Larry Grayson?
No, it didn't. I played it to my mum the other day, and she said, is that Larry Grayson? But yeah, he seems...
It was towards the end. He'd had a few strokes.
God. Oh, right. Okay. Welcome to Tackle Gags, where rugby league continues to demonstrate that sometimes the most important part of being a professional sportsman is remembering how to behave on a fucking bus. But first up this week, Matt Dufty has been talking about his time at Warrington, admitted that he let himself go too far, which apparently contributed him to leaving in the club earlier than expected. Now, we don't know exactly what let himself go means, but because in rugby league, if I let myself go a bit too much, it could mean too many pies, pints, nights out, too much time in the red light district. Who knows? Whatever happened, the official explanation is beautifully vague and doesn't shoot from the hip.
But you're taking a stab in the dark.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. So we
all
know.
Barbecue. Oh, sorry.
Which brings me to Mick Morgan, left voiceover this week. Castleford commentator Mick Morgan became rugby league folklore with his furious I can't speak rant. That wasn't really a Yorkshire accent, was it? It was more like London. He had a rant anyway. And years later, his unmistakable voice found new life in the lift at Escape in Yorkshire, turning a legendary meltdown into a lift announcement. If you don't know what this is like, we could possibly play the soundbite.
In the final round of the game, Andy A. Oh, what about that? Send him off! Send the dressing gates up! Get him off the field! That was diabolical! Get him off the field! That's just typical what it is! Get him walking! it. Walk him, Campbell, if you've got any bottle. If you've got any bottle, Campbell, he should walk. That was absolute diabolical. It's going to be a yellow card. I can't speak. You bottleless get, Campbell. You dickhead. You bottleless get. I can't speak. I should be sent off.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes. The voice has been created to make an announcement. So they've basically lifted some of the segments of his rant. When the doors open, they've used, get in the lift, you dickhead. So that's, you know, quite, because he does say dickhead. You can't believe it, can you? They'll put that on Sky nowadays. Selecting the floor number, they've used, if you've got any bottle, press the fucking button. Because he's referring to the referee, isn't he? Because he doesn't believe he's going to send the Wigan
Campbell,
player off.
Campbell. Yes, have you got any, Campbell. You've got in the bottle, Campbell.
Yeah. When the doors close, you're bottleless git, because that's what he goes on to call Campbell for not sending him off with a red. And if you press a help button, then those infamous words, I can't speak, which obviously, you can't help yourself at Castleford. But I'll move on to Salford and the theme of this week's Tackle Gags, because this week's big story is that Salford released a player because he didn't shake the team bus driver's hand. That's not a rumour. Salford CEO Ryan Brearley actually confirmed it, saying the club released the player because he didn't shake the driver's hand when the team arrived at a championship fixture. Brearley said that the club's recruitment philosophy was about getting good people first, even if that meant rejecting players. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I quite like this. It's not necessarily a sacking, but it's a principle, and that's good. And actually, it got me thinking about, you know, applying Salford standards to Warrington Wolves recruitment of Sam Burgess number two. Suddenly the recruitment for Sam Burgess number two becomes less about coaching ability and more about instilling discipline, maybe. So this week I've been looking at the strangest real life sackings and dismissals in sport and see if Warrington Wolves should follow their hard line with their new number two. So I'm going to play a little quiz for you two. Sack or re-rack. So I need your attention. Thought I'd get a bit of interaction on Tackle Gags this week, as you two usually piss off and walk around somewhere. I've got 10 genuine sporting incidents. I'll give you the crime. You tell me if it's a sack and they get the fucking boot, or it's a re-rack and they're disciplined, fined or suspended, but somehow keep their job. And then I'll reveal the answer. And then really, I'll just mention whether Sam Burgess's new number two should have a similar thing. So round one.
Phil.
The offence. Nay?
Nothing.
Sorry?
Just nothing.
Right. Round one. The offence. You refuse to shake a bus driver's hand. So we're going to use this one. Do you think, as a, to get you in, you think it's a sackable offence?
Am I a player now?
Well, no, you're the number two. You're being recruited.
Phil. Oh, I see.
Phil, sack or re-rack? You have to say sack or re-rack.
Sack.
Okay. Sack. Sam, are you saying sack?
Re-rack. Yeah.
Well, it's, it was sacked. It's not hard. This was the example bleeding question. We know he's been sacked. Oh, Jesus.
When Sam and I used to catch the Barry Cooper, I think it was Barry Cooper at the time.
It was,
used to catch the bus home from Lynn. There was one of the drivers used to grab one of the lads and put him across his lap after he got on when he got on the bus every day, and he got suspended.
Oh, Christ. We're not going there anyway. That was in the 70s, and we all know what happened there. So, yeah, Warrington's recruitment test should be the first question for the number two. What is your opinion of the bus driver incident? Second question, just shake his hand. If he hesitates, fuck him off. Round two, the offence. You're a professional footballer. You have a disagreement with your teammate in the dressing room. It gets physical. You end up in hospital with a head injury. Should you sack them or re-wrap them?
That'll be a re-rack because it's too expensive to sack him.
I was getting excited then because when you said they had an argument in the changing room, I thought they were going to like strip off and kiss and it's going to get all...
No.
Sack then.
Okay. No, the answer is re-rack. This is in 2026. Real Madrid fined Federico Valverde.
Are these real ones?
Yes.
Sorry.
And... Aurelian Tucker, oh, I can't even say it. Anyway, they got fined $500,000 each. After a dressing room altercation, Valverde said he accidentally hit a table and both players later apologised. Mm-hmm. The Warrington version would be two forwards have a fight in the changing room. So you're the number two now. What would you say? I've written down here what the should say. Right, which one of you started it? And if they got a response, both. He did. I'll just say, excellent, you're both starting against Wigan. That'd be excellent. To start to do that. Yeah. Round three, the offence. You're a football referee. You send somebody off. Then, apparently, you send a private message containing an offensive joke.
What? Should you sack the referee? Sends the message.
Yes.
He was sacked, wasn't he? Clattenburg.
Well, are you saying sack or re-rack? I mean, you know, if this has happened, what are you going to do?
He's sacked.
Rob, are you going to sack him or are you going to give him some re-rack?
I'm going to re-rack.
I'm afraid he got sacked. Premier League referee Bobby Madley was dismissed after an offensive private social media message became public. It didn't quite come up straight away, but I obviously had to look at the joke. So I will say it because it's obviously in the press. Basically, he was sat in his car at his kid's school and it was sports day. And he saw one of the parents who was really quite overweight. And he said, "Fuck me, I'll have a chance of winning the parents' race this year." So that was his joke. I mean, it's, if it's a private joke,
that's a bit harsh. Laughed to himself.
It is a bit, yeah. So Warrington's application to the coach, the incoming number two, should be if he sends a WhatsApp saying, "I'm well versed in Gary Chamber recruitment strategy," I would dismiss him for spreading misinformation. So that's, he wouldn't get the job. Round four, these glasses are making me feel sick. We've got two more rounds. The offence, you're a footballer again. You've been told to attend a disciplinary hearing. You don't turn up. Sack or re-rack?
Sack.
Sam?
Well, I tend to agree, but I'd better go opposite Rob and say re-rack.
Well, it is re-rack. I mean, there's been numerous sporting disciplinary cases where they've not faced, going to them and they've not been sacked. So it's usually that they get re-racked in that situation. Yeah. The Warrington application for the number two. Sorry, I can't attend the disciplinary meeting. The chairman says, why? And he says, well, I'm actually at the disciplinary meeting. So we should promote him to instant promotion to director of change, a bit like Ralph Rimmer. That's a thing. Anyway, final one, the offence. Oh, no, it's not. There's two more. The offence, you... What, do you want me to miss one out?
No.
You're a professional footballer
I'm just thinking what music I'm going to put over this section to keep people.
Yeah, you're a professional footballer. You commit an act so stupid that the disciplinary report you as highly violating. Twice in the same game, you have this high violation.
What's the violation?
Well, I could tell you that, but it's in the answer. I don't think it matters. It's just classed as a high violation.
Did he punch the referee? Therefore, he's sacked.
Okay. Well, no, he's re-racked. Rob's right there. Okay. Swindon captain Ollie Clark received a 7-match ban and £2,750 fine after the FA found two intentional acts of foul play involving the other opponent's private body parts. The really impressive bit that was 37 minutes apart. And he grabbed the testicles, twice in a match. So the Warrington applicant said, "Have you got a tactical plan? What is it? Not the opposition. How many times? Depends on the first one goes." So there you go. Re-rack. Next one. The offence. Last one now. You can. You're an assistant coach.
I'm worried, Sam. Since he's started wearing his glasses, this section might get longer. You know, he normally windles through it quite quickly, but he's got his Larry Grayson glasses on, and he's really gone for it this week, hasn't he?
Yeah. How did Larry Grayson speak?
Shut that door.
Oh, it all connects together with the pride, doesn't it? You're an assistant coach. You give players motivational speak. It's recorded. It's all full of swearing, and it gets leaked.
Re-rack. Re-rack. Sack. Re-rack.
There's been plenty of consequences of that. And I think that Ryan Carr got caught on Sky Sports the other week shouting, didn't he, out the box. I don't know if there was any swearing, but they did apologise for what he was swearing out of there. Yeah. I mean, it goes on, doesn't it? You know, but the perfect for what Warrington needs, I think, you know, because Sam Burgess doesn't need an assistant coach who can deliver a PowerPoint. He needs someone who can walk into the changing room and say, right, lads, that was fucking shit. So, and he doesn't go to HR. So, there you go. That's it, really. Just remember, shake the bus driver's hand.
Have you ever watched Papillon? You ever seen the film Papillon with Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman? Dennis reminds me of Dustin Hoffman. Like, early on in season one in this podcast, he switched on. And then, you know, at the end when he's like a gibbering wreck and he's just trying to grow vegetables and the other guy's still trying to throw himself in the water and escape. I do feel he's a bit like Dustin Hoffman towards the end now. Just waffling on.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Three games to predict before the podcast returns, all within the space of just 9 days. First up, tomorrow night, it's Paul Vaughan's York, kickoff 8 p.m. at HJ. Then next Tuesday, Wyatt play their catch-up game away at Hull KR, kickoff also 8 p.m. And then finally, a week on Sunday, Warrington return to the Halliwell Jones to entertain Huddersfield. This one is a 3 o'clock start. Now, you know what? I'm not going to bother the listeners with all our betting. We'll do that off air at the end.
Yes, I agree.
Let's just do three predictions. So I'm going to go, we will beat York, we will lose at Hull KR, and we'll beat Huddersfield. Done. 4 points. Sam?
I'm going to say the same. I think the same.
Dennis?
Dustin Hoffman. Well, I would like to say about York that they've really put some extra sort of good competitive games in, but I think they're on their arse now. I think the back end of the season. So I do think at home we'll beat York. Hull KR, are they coming to, is that at Halliwell Jones?
No, it's at Hull.
Oh, we got stuff there then. So yeah, we'll probably lose against Hull KR. Huddersfield, yeah, we should win that, shouldn't we? Is that at home or is that away?
Yeah, just said all that.
Yeah, have you?
Oh,
I missed that.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. So is the UK.
Are we not going to talk about them? Is that it? Are we just going to leave it at that?
He said he wasn't going to bore the listener with actual rugby chat.
No, with rugby chat. Oh, I didn't miss that bit.
I think the blip there, I don't think Hull KR losing at Hull KR is a blip. I think the only possibility of a blip is Huddersfield has just gained a bit of confidence, but whether that confidence is still there in 9 days' time, they could get thumped between now and then.
And that'll be our third game in just over a week.
I just thought I'd add a bit more on for your anxiety because you've got to get this podcast done before the match comes out.
I forgot we were doing this today, so Mrs. London woke me up. I'm still in bed. I've not had a shit. I've had a coffee. And I've been hanging on to it for an hour and a half.
we never said, did we? But back a couple of podcasts ago, we had a really anxious episode, and it was all because Rob wanted to have a shit.
Oh God, that was
you've done
real,
very well.
I'm not tackled gags. Honest, I thought at one point I was going to shit the bed.
Have you not got a bedpan yet?
Okay, that's it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. So as the UK heads towards autumn but continues its Indian summer, it's a namaste from me, a namaskar from Sam.
All the best.
And a salam from Dennis.
Best seeing you.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Are you still allowed to say Indian summer?